your pre-construction condos and all of that wealth that you had on paper because the real estate market said it was worth a certain amount at that point in time wasn't real. It was an illusion. It was a fugazi. Do you understand? It wasn't real. What we tried to get across to people at that point in time, that the whole thing was a fugazi, but again, people chose not to listen. The article goes on. It said more than half of Americans who were adults amid the Great Recession said they endured some kind of negative financial impact. Wow, more than half? I did. During that point in time, we at Markowski Investments endured a negative financial impact. We're paid based upon our clients' assets and how well they do. Nobody was doing well during the Great Recession. Everything was going down, even though many things shouldn't have gone down. What did we do? We made ourselves stronger. We dollar cost average. We battened down the hatches. We came out over the Great Recession a hell of a lot better than we were before we even went into it. Why? Because we used our heads. We didn't buy into the emotion. We didn't go out and order one of Glenn Beck's seed banks. We did not go out and buy gold coins. Come on. People, downturns are going to happen. If you handle them properly, guess what? You will come out ahead. It's like any other obstacle that you are going to face in life at any other point in time. It's the decisions you make. It's the choices that make that end up defining you. Choose wisely. Whenever I say choose wisely, I think of that the Knight Templar and Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Pick the right cup. Pick the right course of action. Stop listening to the charlatans out there. All of the people that don't have any skin in the game, like we talked about earlier on in the program. Listen to them. Yeah, pretty good shot you're going to end up losing. Anyway, what I mean by narratives, yeah, you're going to see more and more and more and more stories like this leading into the 2020 election. You've got to convince everybody that the world is terrible and their economy is really bad. That's the job of the mainstream media. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
Chris Markowski is the watchdog on Wall Street.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
You should believe in math, not magic. You're listening to The Watchdog on Wall Street with Chris Markowski.
Welcome back, everyone. It is the Watchdog on Wall Street show. I got to mention this story. I got several emails on this. Boeing CEO Dennis Muilenburg, stating that the company made a mistake in its handling of the implementation of the cockpit warning system in its 737 MAX jets prior to the two fatal crashes. And he said its communication with the regulators and customers, they weren't consistent. We clearly had a mistake in the implementation of the alert. So far, Boeing's not doing so well at the Paris, the Paris show that they've got going on right now, the air show. They're not selling as many planes. Airbus is pretty much kicking their tail. Hey, they're going to feel this. They are. But again, I'm always a big believer in full disclosure and honesty. I think that Dennis Muilenburg is a little late to the party. I think a lot of these CEOs, again, they want to hold on to their job as long as they possibly can. They're making a fortune. They've got consultants. They've got PR people that surround them and tell them what to do. And they listen. And I think many people that have to hire all of these consultants and PR people to tell you how to act, what to do, what to wear, I think people lose who they are. And at times, this consultant, these people come in to Markowski Investments and radio consultant. I get them all the time. I'm going to analyze your radio show and tell you how to do it. Whenever I hear that, I got the old Bender from Breakfast Club with the middle finger down picture. Can you hear this? Shall I turn it up? I'm not changing who I am or what I believe in for you. And again, they're for these CEOs. You want to talk about the biggest chickens on the planet? Oh, what's it going to do to the share price if I come and admit it? And on and on and on with their crap. There was whenever I think about this and dealing with crisis, you're going to deal with situations where things are going to go wrong. You are. Things are going to go wrong in life. Things are going to go wrong in business. Sometimes pretty bad. Pretty bad. Now, obviously, this is a terrible, terrible situation. How do you go about dealing with those? I always tell people that at some point in time, I tell kids, you've got to get a job working in the service industry. You've got to get a job waiting tables, bartending, because things will go wrong. Things will go wrong. Customers will get upset. Food won't be cooked right. Drinks won't taste right. And you're going to have to deal, and these are obviously smaller issues in the grand scheme of things, but it teaches you how to go about dealing with them and how to go about handling them. And you know what you do? You're honest and upfront. And you tell people what happened. Do you think that we've always been right in all of our years in managing people's money with the calls that we've made? Do you not think we've gotten stopped out on certain positions that didn't do what we thought they were going to do? Sure. Sure. Well, you explain to the client why and why you think what happened and why, you know, you made the mistake and you move on. You have to be out front. You have to be honest about these things. You know, maybe think about as well, there was a scene in the Tom Clancy movie. Which one was it? Clear and Present Danger. And you got this corrupt president, and he finds out that his lifelong buddy, college buddy, was laundering money for the drug cartels. And his lifelong buddy, and everybody knew his lifelong buddy, his whole entire family were slaughtered by the cartels on their yacht. And all the information is coming out, and he's got all his consultants and handlers and PR people and advisors telling him how to handle it. And the one honest guy in the room is, of course, the hero, Jack Ryan. Tells him to tell the truth. Tells him, they ask you if you were friends. You say, no, we were lifelong friends. You're honest about the entire thing. And he made the statement there. He said, why try to defuse a bomb after it's already gone off? Anyway, I want to talk a little bit about immigration, I guess, headline, Donald Trump starting this week is going to start deporting millions of illegals. I don't have any problem with that. Just explain to me how that's possible. You tell me how you're going to go ahead and do that. I don't get it. Hey, the best way, and like I said, the easiest way to get rid of all of these people that are coming in, again, don't give them work permits. Change our asylum rules. Enforce E-Verify. Everybody will self-deport. They'll do it by themselves. It won't cost you anything. I don't see it happen. I don't. It's interesting as well. My state here of New York has now decided that they are going to allow illegals to get driver's licenses. And this kind of ticked me off a little bit, because when I moved back to New York 3 years ago and I had to get a New York State driver's license, my passport, my Florida's license, proof of where I lived, a myriad of different identification documents wasn't enough. They still made me go down to the Social Security Administration and get myself a new Social Security card. Yet, you know what? No, it's okay now. We're going to allow undocumented people to get driver's license. It's easier to get a driver's license if you are illegal than it is if you are legal. America. WatchdogOnWallStreet.com, WatchdogOnWallStreet.com. God bless everyone. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to The Watchdog on Wall Street.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
It's tax season. President Biden and First Lady Jill earned over $607,000 in 2020, a significant drop from their 2019 income while the Bidens were outperforming speaking engagements. The Bidens' tax rate is at 25.9%. Vice President Kamala Harris and her husband Doug reported $1.695 million in gross income and paid a tax rate of 36.7%. 2 months after President Biden slammed rollbacks of COVID-19 restrictions in Texas as Neanderthal thinking, the state reported no deaths from the coronavirus on Sunday for the first time since tracking the pandemic data. Republican Governor Greg Abbott posted on Twitter Sunday that the case numbers in Texas is at 338. A fire that started Friday in Pacific Palisades in Southern California flared up Saturday due to gusty winds and is threatening homes in Topanga Canyon. More than 1,300 acres have burned, affecting about 1,000 people. USA Radio News.
I'm hungry. What's to eat?
Beans again.
Did somebody say hungry? Pistol Beach Jerky at PistolBeachJerky.com. A herd of delicious flavors. Break Bronco Busting Hunger. Lasso up your order at PistolBeachJerky.com.
Thanks, Pistol Beach.
I made it myself. PistolBeachJerky.com. Tell them Pete sent you.
PistolPete'sJerky.com is the official beef jerky of the Chosen Generation Radio Show. When you place your order, you'll receive two free U.S. Constitutions and a U.S. flag sticker. One Constitution for you to read cover to cover, and the second to pass on to your friends, family, or loved ones. Go to PistolPete'sJerky.com and use discount code CGR to get an additional 10% off. PistolPete'sJerky.com and place your order today.
The deadly Israel-Hamas conflict continues to rage on. Dan Araki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
The conflict between Israel and Hamas is now in its second week with no clear end in sight, with Hamas militants continuing to fire rockets into Israel and Israeli defense forces responding with airstrikes into Gaza. Former U.S. Ambassador to Israel, David Friedman, tells Newsmax TV that the root cause of the conflict is a power move by Hamas.
I think part of it is the fact that Hamas was ahead in the Palestinian elections, and the Palestinian Authority canceled the elections, and this is the way for Hamas to burnish its credentials, if you will, with the Palestinian people. They can't go to the ballot box. They're going to show how good they are at killing Israelis.
From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
California will not lift its COVID-19 mask mandate to align with new federal recommendations until after June 15th, the target date for the state to fully reopen businesses. USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, and I want to tell you that arthritis is not a genetic thing. It's not a disease of aging. Neither is osteoporosis. Get a hold of my book. It's all in your head. It goes into the 25 different diseases you get when you have osteoporosis of the skull. These are all reversible. You take the Healthy Bone and Joint Pack, the MSM, vitamin D3, stay away from all the bad foods, including gluten, and guess what? You'll regrow all your bones, including your skull and your legs and your hips and everything else. Contact us at usaradiohealth.com. That's usaradiohealth.com.
Conservative analyst Candace Owens is calling out Dr. Anthony Fauci on Fox News Monday. The infectious disease expert said coronavirus exposes the undeniable effects of racism on the black community.
The left is always looking for a victim narrative. And let me tell you, if there's ever been a victim that is deserving of airtime, it's science. It made so much sense, and now it's suddenly over. And I like to say that Dr. Fauci, to me, is like, you know when you're a kid and you play that game, Simon Says, touch your head, Simon Says, touch your toes? You've always wondered, who is Simon and why are we doing what he says? Simon is Dr. Fauci. He's making this stuff up as you go along. Wear your mask. Simon says, wear your mask. Simon says, don't wear your mask. Simon says now that COVID is racist and it affects black people more poorly. We don't know why he's saying it. It makes entirely no sense, but apparently a lot of people are following his orders. And this is his new push to blame this somehow on systemic racism. By the way, if he's concerned about systemic racism and he's talking about how COVID might affect black people, I think what he's hitting at is obesity, right? We represent like a higher percentage of people that are obese, black Americans, and obesity is the number one killer in America. He might be onto something there, but it has nothing to do with race. Race is not determining whether or not you're fat or whether or not you're skinny. And these are good discussions that we should be having. Of course, what the left is obsessed with right now is politicizing science. And right now, the policy is, if you want to accomplish anything in life, just call the other thing racist. To say not to have what I want would be racist. And that's exactly what they do over and over and over again.
I'm Lance Pry, and this is USA Radio News.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
It's tax season. President Biden and First Lady Jill earned over $607,000 in 2020, a significant drop from their 2019 income while the Bidens were outperforming speaking engagements. The Bidens' tax rate is at 25.9%. Vice President Kamala Harris and her husband Doug reported $1.695 million in gross income and paid a tax rate of 36.7%. 2 months after President Biden slammed rollbacks of COVID-19 restrictions in Texas as Neanderthal thinking, the state reported no deaths from the coronavirus on Sunday for the first time since tracking the pandemic data. Republican Governor Greg Abbott posted on Twitter Sunday that the case numbers in Texas is at 338. A fire that started Friday in Pacific Palisades in Southern California flared up Saturday due to gusty winds and is threatening homes in Topanga Canyon. More than 1,300 acres have burned, affecting about 1,000 people. USA Radio News.
I'm hungry. What's to eat?
Beans again.
Did somebody say hungry?
Pistol Beats Jerky at PistolBeatsJerky.com. A herd of delicious flavors. Break Bronco Busting Hunger. Lasso up your order at PistolBeatsJerky.com.
Thanks, Pistol Pete.
I made it myself.
PistolBeatsJerky.com. Tell them Pete sent you.
PistolPete'sJerky.com is the official beef jerky of the Chosen Generation Radio Show. When you place your order, you'll receive two free U.S. Constitutions and a U.S. flag sticker. One Constitution for you to read cover to cover, and the second to pass on to your friends, family, or loved ones. Go to PistolPete'sJerky.com and use discount code CGR to get an additional 10% off. PistolPete'sJerky.com and place your order today.
The deadly Israel-Hamas conflict continues to rage on. Dan Araki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
The conflict between Israel and Hamas is now in its second week with no clear end in sight. With Hamas militants continuing to fire rockets into Israel and Israeli defense forces responding with airstrikes into Gaza. Former U.S. Ambassador to Israel, David Friedman, tells Newsmax TV that the root cause of the conflict is a power move by Hamas.
I think part of it is the fact that Hamas was ahead in the Palestinian elections, and the Palestinian Authority canceled the elections, and this is the way for Hamas to burnish its credentials, if you will, with the Palestinian people. They can't go to the ballot box. They're going to show how good they are at killing Israelis.
From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
California will not lift its COVID-19 mask mandate to align with new federal recommendations until after June 15th, the target date for the state to fully reopen businesses. USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, and I want to tell you that arthritis is not a genetic thing. It's not a disease of aging. Neither is osteoporosis. get a hold of my book. It's All in Your Head. It goes into the 25 different diseases you get when you have osteoporosis of the skull. These are all reversible. You take the Healthy Bone and Joint Pack, the MSM, vitamin D3, stay away from all the bad foods, including gluten, and guess what? You'll regrow all your bones, including your skull and your legs and your hips and everything else. Contact us at usaradiohealth.com. That's usaradiohealth.com.
Conservative analyst Candace Owens is calling out Dr. Anthony Fauci on Fox News Monday. The infectious disease expert said coronavirus exposes the undeniable effects of racism on the black community.
The left is always looking for a victim narrative. And let me tell you, if there's ever been a victim that is deserving of airtime, it's science. It made so much sense, and now it's suddenly over. And I like to say that Dr. Fauci to me is like, you know, when you're a kid and you play that game, Simon Says, touch your head, Simon Says, touch your toes. You've always wondered, who is Simon and why are we doing what he says? Simon is Dr. Fauci. He's making this stuff up as you go along. Wear your mask. Simon Says, wear your mask. Simon Says, don't wear your mask. Simon Says now that COVID is racist and it affects black people more poorly. We don't know why he's saying it. It makes entirely no sense, but apparently a lot of people are following his orders. And this is his new push to blame this somehow on systemic racism. By the way, if he's concerned about systemic racism and he's talking about how COVID might affect black people, I think what he's hitting at is obesity, right? We represent like a higher percentage of people that are obese, black Americans, and obesity is the number one killer in America. He might be onto something there, but it has nothing to do with race. Race is not determining whether or not you're fat or whether or not you're skinny. And these are good discussions that we should be having. Of course, what the left is obsessed with right now is politicizing science. And right now, the policy is if you want to accomplish anything in life, just call the other thing racist. To say not to have what I want would be racist. And that's exactly what they do over and over and over again.
I'm Lance Pry, and this is USA Radio News.
Oh, folks, you know what that...
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
It's tax season. President Biden and First Lady Jill earned over $607,000 in 2020, a significant drop from their 2019 income while the Bidens were outperforming speaking engagements. The Bidens' tax rate is at 25.9%. Vice President Kamala Harris and her husband Doug reported $1.695 million in gross income and paid a tax rate of 36.7%. 2 months after President Biden slammed rollbacks of COVID-19 restrictions in Texas as Neanderthal thinking, the state reported no deaths from the coronavirus on Sunday for the first time since tracking the pandemic data. Republican Governor Greg Abbott posted on Twitter Sunday that the case numbers in Texas is at 338. A fire that started Friday in Pacific Palisades in Southern California flared up Saturday due to gusty winds and is threatening homes in Topanga Canyon. More than 1,300 acres have burned, affecting about 1,000 people. USA Radio News.
I'm hungry. What's to eat?
Beans again.
Did somebody say... hungry? Pistol Pete's Jerky at PistolPete'sJerky.com. A herd of delicious.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Well, good afternoon. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for Counselor's Chat, and came in and the computer was in some different computer mode, so as usual. Anyway, there's a reason I'm not an IT person. I say this almost every week. Of course, I haven't been on for a long time, but I'm so glad to be back. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. I am a licensed professional counselor, and I do have a private practice here in Flemington. As a licensed professional counselor, that means I have my master's in counseling. I am also nationally certified as a counselor, and I am really excited to be able to do this. I've been doing it for about 10 years, and my goal always has been to promote good mental health and to inform the public on mental health matters. So last week I talked about being codependent. It's something that I talk about a lot. But this week I really want to talk a little bit more about a more broad topic, which really is mental health in general. Mental health is one of the most important things that we have. Our brain affects so many areas of our life. It affects the way we think. It affects our behavior. It affects our emotional state. It affects the way we handle our emotions. It affects our bodies. So our brain is actually made up in three basic components or three basic areas. So I'm going to use my hand. I think this is probably the better. So this part of my hand here is the emotional end of my brain, and it kind of sits in the middle. So that's one part. Then I have the part that's down here. This is the brain stem in the back part of the brain. And that part really is, we call it the reptilian brain, because just about every living creature has it. It's the thing that makes the stomach work and the lungs work and our eyes just naturally tear up, the kidneys work, things that we don't think about. But it does have a connection. Obviously, our breathing, which we do automatically, is also connected to our emotion and our thinking, because I can choose to hold my breath and I can choose to control my breathing. And then the front part, the frontal lobes here, that is our area of logic. That part of our brain, well, this reptilian part is developed really soon. I mean, when our heart starts beating, it's already developed. When we're in the womb, when we're born, the emotional center is already fully developed. So babies, they laugh, they cry, they get scared. If you kind of blow in their face, they get scared. They have anxiety. And then the frontal part of our brain, this part, that part continues to develop until we're about 23 years old. In our brain, we have something called neuroplasticity. So that means our brain can always change and redevelop. That's why if we have a brain injury, let's say we even have a stroke, we can relearn to walk, talk, feed ourselves, dress, those kinds of things, because our brain can heal. There was a belief system for a while that the brain cannot heal itself, but it does. It heals itself, and it's always learning. And it can develop new pathways in the brain. So that means if I have an old habit, I can actually create a new habit by actively thinking and practicing a new way. So the brain is really powerful. It also thinks very, very quickly. And so often it's so quick we don't even catch our thoughts. And so part of good mental health is becoming more aware of what we're thinking, what we're doing, and recognizing, is this something that is useful or not useful? We have a lot of thoughts and belief systems and behaviors that are not useful, but we practice them anyway. So, signs of good mental health include being mature. Being a mature adult. We oftentimes expect our children to be mature before their time. So, like, you should know this by now is a type of statement, or you should know better, is something that we do as adults to our children, not recognizing that our children are on their own process of growth and development. Their brain is their maturity level. And sometimes we think that because our children are 16, 17, that they should be adult, but they're not. They're still children. They're still a good, 5-7 years of brain development. But being mature, like, what does that mean? A mature adult? That's a difficult one because so many people never attain that maturity. Or I'm going to even use the term self-actualization, which is something through Maslow's hierarchy of needs, if anyone is familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Meaning, basically, we start off with, and it's a pyramid. The base of the pyramid is our basic needs. To reach self-actualization and or maturity, I need to have food, water, I need to have shelter. Those things are really important. So, excuse me. Stop that. So when I have those needs met, I can then kind of move up the ladder or the pyramid to feeling a sense of safety. Now, you know, my food, my shelter, those things, air, water, those things are being met. I'm beginning to feel safe. When I begin to feel safe, I then move up the pyramid to I begin to socialize. So I'm beginning to connect with other people and develop friendships and community. When I begin to develop friendships and community, my self-esteem begins to go up. So I'm feeling better about myself. And as I'm feeling better about myself, I begin to get in touch with my creativity and my sense of purpose and those types of things, which then I reach self-actualization. So that's how that pyramid works. So self-actualization and or maturity really means that I have a good sense of self-esteem. Well, what does that mean? That means I have a sense of who I am and a sense of purpose, and that I don't dwell on negative self-talk and negative thinking. That I've learned to become more positive about my outlook on life and the way I perceive myself and others. So again, as I said, our brain can make changes through neuroplasticity. So if I grow up in a family situation where there's family dysfunction, chances are I may end up having very low self-esteem. I may actually even end up being a narcissist. That's the topic for another day. But and I say that because narcissism and low self-esteem are all about self-esteem. They run on opposite ends of the same line of self-esteem. We don't really have a term for someone who has got major low self-esteem other than low self-esteem and narcissism. But there is no, I don't know why they've never coined a phrase for that. Anyway, when we have that kind of family dysfunction, which can be a myriad of things, it could be that I grew up in a home that had a single parent. I could have grown up in a home where there was divorce. I could have grown up in a home where I had a military parent or two. I could have grown up in a home where I had a parent that had physical illness, mental illness, addiction, poverty, crime, abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse. All of those things contribute to our building of self-esteem or not. So a healthy adult, a mature adult, has a good sense of self-esteem. And when we don't, we sound like, I can't do anything right. Everything I do is wrong. I don't deserve anything. I'm not a good person. Nobody loves me. Everything I do is a failure. If bad things are going to happen, they're going to happen to me. I'm never going to make any money. I'm never going to be successful. I'm not a success because everything I do is just such a mess. I'm fat. I'm ugly. Who would want to be in a relationship with me? It can go on and on and on. I hate myself. I loathe myself. Okay. Those kinds of things. I also have what would be called a toxic shame base, and I am filled with false guilt. Those things are toxic and false. So shame, and I may have said this before, I know it's been a while since I've really been on, but shame is there's something wrong with me, toxic shame, And guilt is I did something wrong. So those are the two things. I did something wrong, or there's something wrong with me. That's toxic. So, I don't want to say something to somebody because I don't want to hurt their feelings. And if I do say something and their feelings are hurt or they get angry with me, I feel guilty. Well, that's actually false guilt, because the reality is I'm not in charge of how someone else feels. Now, I may be able to trigger someone, so I know that... I know if I collect all the receipts that my husband has on the table and throw them out, he's going to get angry. I know that because I know him, and I know that that's going to trigger anger in him, because for him, keeping those receipts is important until he does whatever he needs to do with them, and then he throws them out. If I decide I'm going to throw them out, then he becomes angry. I know that about him. I can ask permission. Are you done with these receipts? Is it okay if I throw them out? Chances are he won't get angry. He'll say yes or no, I'm not done with them, versus my just showing up and throwing them out, and he needs them, and now they're in the trash. And so I know that that would trigger anger with him, because I have a relationship with him and I know him, and that's the thing. We can trigger someone's anger. We can trigger someone's sadness, disappointment, because they have belief systems, just like we have belief systems. And those belief systems get triggered. And so that's part of what happens. And so if I have low self-esteem, the thing is that you might say something, not meaning to be hurtful, but you might say something like, I don't know, gosh, I'm not sure if that outfit, that sweater goes with the shirt that you're wearing. I'm crushed. You know, I was just talking with a client. Talk with clients all the time, but yesterday, and we were talking about, and it was a struggle that I myself had for quite a long time, being able to differentiate the difference between a critique and a criticism. Because I had no self-esteem when I was a lot younger, because I grew up in a family with lots of dysfunction. I really had no idea, because I was criticized all the time. And when I was in college, I took art class, and one of the things, when you were done, you had to put, every student had to put their artwork up, and we sat and critiqued it. God, it was one of the most painful things that I think I've experienced. But I learned that this was a critique, not a criticism. I like how you did this. You might want to consider about doing that next time. Your shadowing is great. You know, your perspective is a little off. Something to work on. That is not a criticism. It is a critique to help me see what other perspectives of other people, so I can choose areas to make improvement. With low self-esteem, not being a mature adult, low self-esteem, it was crushing. You hear the difference in that? So part of being mature is being able to know the difference between being criticized, being critiqued, having good self-esteem, understanding that that's somebody that's giving me a critique, and I can choose to take it or not take it. See, if I have low self-esteem, it's crushing if somebody gives me a critique, because they're telling me, based in my toxic shame, that there's something wrong with what I did. If there's something wrong with what I did, there's something wrong with me. So as a mature adult, that doesn't happen. As a mature adult, and you see, here's the thing. I know I talked about it last week with being codependent, but when we're highly codependent, we're not very mature. So the thing is that I recognize that I can only take care of myself. I can only control myself. The only time that overlaps is with children or elderly who need help, or other adults who are compromised in their life that need help physical reasons, mental health reasons, whatever. There's times I need help. I'm short. I can't reach high things. I got to ask for help. Inevitably, when I start this show, I'm generally going and saying, Chris, I need help. Some things with the computer, whatever. So I admit that I need help. I get frustrated with myself a little bit because I need help, but I don't say what's wrong with me. I know exactly what's going on. First, I'm a little intimidated by all the buttons and knobs that sit around me. Number two, I don't want to mess something up because there's signs that around here that says, you know, don't turn things off and please don't close programs and, you know, that kind of thing. So I don't want to hit something that I shouldn't hit. And then if I come in and the screen's not what I expect, okay, because that's my expectation that whoever ends their show before me leaves it ready for the next person. And if I don't see that, I don't want to touch anything and screw anything up. I don't know where to go, so I go and ask for help. And then that frustrates me a little bit and kind of just puts me on a downward spot. I know that about me. Does that mean I'm stupid? Not at all. It doesn't mean that I'm stupid. It means that I can get intimidated by technology because it's a little bit more than I don't deal with it every day. I mean, I deal with the human psyche, which is for some people like, how do you do that? I don't know. How do you do this? So we each have our own areas of expertise. You may not even think you have an area of expertise, but you do. So I don't have a sense of low self-esteem as a consequence of all of this technology that sits here in front of me. It doesn't affect, again, who I am as a person. It just means that I have limitations. So when we are mature adults, and I'm going to say this, I'm not 100% a mature adult. I have my moments, believe me. And my husband will attest to my moments. But I'm always working towards it. So knowing my limits and knowing my boundaries, okay? So I know my limitations. I am not technically savvy. That's a limitation of mine. I get it. I am not on Twitter all that much and Reddit and Snapchat and WhatsApp and all. I don't even know what half of these things are. And I am on Facebook, obviously. My counselor's chat is on Facebook. And so I know some things about the computer, but I don't know a lot. And that's okay. You know, it's being able to say, you know what, it's a limitation. And so I need to ask for help when I get stuck on something. I need to have support people that I can call to be able to take care of it. So knowing what your limitations are as an adult, being a mature adult, is really important. Because the other thing, you see, if I'm immature, I think I should know everything. And I'm ashamed to ask for help. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed to ask for help. Then I can't get the things that I need taken care of. And I'm not advocating for myself very well. So good mental health, again, good mental health. Again, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Good mental health is about being a mature adult. Well, I could be an adult, but immature. But being emotionally mature. Again, I talk about boundaries and limits. I'm talking about a limit. And if I take my limitations and I beat myself up, why can't I do this? And I'm not good at that. And I should be better in this. And I can't believe I made a mess of that. And I should be able to be a better this. And that's a reflection of my low self-esteem. They're based on belief systems that I have. Again, going back to neuroplasticity, meaning my brain is bendable and I could form it. I need to catch myself, tell myself to stop, and I need to practice saying things that are positive. I'm good at that. Even if I don't believe it yet, I can accomplish things. I'm organized. I'm capable. I deserve to have people in my life that love me and support me. I'm a good friend. I like helping people. I'm creative. I have a great sense of humor. I can go on and on. Oh, okay, so I have limitations. I'm not going to beat myself up over limitations. I'm going to say, okay, I also have the capacity to learn. I'm always learning. So, you know, last week, Chris said to me, oh, well, you know, when it's the icon over here, you always double-click. I'm like, oh, well, that's news. I never knew that. That was helpful. Because I'd click once, and I'd sit there and go, something's wrong. It's not working. And then, of course, my inadequacies kick in, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I don't know what to touch. I don't want to mess things up. I don't want to screw things up. You know, and so there I go. Sort of my limitations kick in, my anxieties kick in. But you know what? I can say, you know what? I can learn. It's been over a year. I was really getting, you would think after 10 years, I got really good at the whole process. I come in and things changed. You know, I was told, well, Facebook made changes. I'm like, thank you. So now I've got to learn those things over. It rekindles my anxiety because I don't want to mess up the equipment. And so here I am sort of relearning. It is okay. I'm going to get it down again. So the thing is that, and it goes with so many things. When we begin to recognize our limitations, then we say, okay, so I'm limited in this. I can ask for help. Maybe I have a learning disability, a reading comprehension issue. Maybe I'm a little dyslexic. I've got some dyslexia and some reading comprehension issues. So, you know what? I work at overcoming them by asking for help or having somebody check things that I've written. I mean, a lot of times people say, oh my gosh, your spelling. I'm like, well, part of that is my dyslexia. I am a bad speller. I will admit to that. That is a limitation that I have. At one point in my life where I really thought that I was supposed to be a perfect speller and I had been criticized for spelling, I could not handle when somebody would make fun of my spelling because it pushed on my low self-esteem. What a horrible person I am because I can't spell. I must be stupid because I struggle with spelling. I learned how to spell phonetically. So lettuce, L-E-T-U-S. Lettuce. Well, now I know it's L-U-T-T-U-C-E. See, I don't know. I'd have to write it down to look at it. But the thing is that that's the thing. I recognize that that's a limitation. I need people to review things. A lot of times I'll put something, I'll ask my husband, how does that sound? Did that come out? Did you check my spelling on that? It happens. And there's times I forget to put words in just because my brain is working too fast and my fingers are not working fast enough and I skip words. That's a limitation. Does that mean I'm stupid? No. I hear clients all the time go, oh, I did. It was so stupid. I was so stupid. I'm like, no, not stupid. Sometimes we equate stupid with some of the emotional things that we do. So we make choices based on emotion. I'm going to say we live in a time where we are doing so many choice-making things on emotion. It doesn't work. We cannot make choices based on emotion. We have to make choices based on logic. Does emotion play a part in the choice-making? It absolutely does. But we are also taught not to listen to our emotion. It doesn't make sense, does it? I have a feeling like, I don't know. This doesn't seem like it would be the best choice to make. I may need to listen to that. That people come in and say, I started dating this person and I don't know. All right, listen to that. Oh, but I want to be in love. I understand that. But listen to that little thing. Like we all have that little voice. That little voice. We don't listen to it. We're taught not to listen to it. And they ignore it. That little voice versus, oh, all that poor whatever. I'm going to take, and I know I have 75 puppies and 89 cats at home. Oh, okay. Logically, I got to use my heck, if I go by my feelings, I would have like a huge cow barn in the backyard and it would be filled with cats. I'd be the crazy cat lady. You know what? Most cats I've ever had at one time as an adult is two. That's it. I have one right now, but that's what I have, two cats. I'd love to have a dog, but my husband and I like to travel. So logically, either we would be taking the dog with us or having to put the dog in the kennel. And you know what? That's more work than I want to do. So I have to use my brain just because I feel sorry. So oftentimes that goes down to the codependency issue. So I feel bad for, I want to help, I want to rescue, I want to caretake. I don't listen to my limitations. I don't listen to that part. A mature adult knows what they want versus what they need. So I don't need to be in a relationship. Nobody needs to be in a relationship. Nobody needs that. We need love as a child. We don't need love as an adult. What we need as an adult is good self-esteem, a sense of self-love, so that we can take good care of ourselves. And that we can then choose relationships where it builds us up. So we have relationships where, I'm going to say the narcissist, is taking the energy from everyone. They're sucking the energy out of the room. There's that type of relationship. Then there's the relationship where the person is, this is the codependent person, so if the narcissist and the codependent person is giving and giving all their, and they're always exhausted for giving and giving. Okay, so there's exchange of energy in a relationship where I'm taking and I'm taking, or I'm giving and I'm giving. It's all going in one direction. I'm taking and giving, versus a healthy relationship where we're both give and take. So I don't leave the relationship where the other person feels depleted and exhausted and I'm all pumped up. And I don't leave the relationship where I'm depleted and I know the other person is all pumped up. But I leave the relationship where we both go, that was really great. I really enjoyed spending time with you. You feel pumped up and I feel pumped up. That's a healthy, mature relationship we have, and that's really what we need. So that if I have that confusion in relationship, I am willing to then give myself all over and off to a relationship. I'm depleted, that person's not giving anything back, because I think I need that person in my life. Because that person fills my self-esteem. Because I have no self-esteem. I'm nobody. I'm nothing without you. Okay? I mean, we're just saturated with that nonsense. I'm nothing, nothing without you. You complete me. You are everything I need. No, I am everything that I need. And I need to be able to make those healthy choices of what I need and what I want. I need to be able to distinguish my limitations and my boundaries. So the other piece of it then is then knowing that. Knowing what I want versus what I need. Knowing my limitations and my boundaries. I need to, as a healthy, mature adult, be able to advocate for myself. I know this sounds like the show last week. But that is the reality of it. I need to be able to advocate. If there's something that I need, okay, I need to ask for it. Without shame attached. If I have shame around my limitation, I'm not going to ask for help. Shame, toxic shame, because I have low self-esteem. I can't ask you because I'm going to feel guilty that you went out of your way to help me. Okay? That's false guilt. I can ask you, oh my gosh, I just got a flat tire. Can you come and help me? You can say no. You're allowed to say no. Oh, God, I'm really sorry. I'm in the middle of a, you know, open heart surgery. I can't come. I don't know, whatever the reason is. My kid's throwing up. I can't come. All right. I'm going to get angry with you? No, that's immature. Okay, you can't come. I don't know. I'm just in the middle of getting dye in my hair. I can't, you know, I can't come. I can't, you know. Okay, that's fine. So that one of the things, you know, as a mature adult, I can advocate for myself. I can see, you know, and I set things up. So maybe what I need is AAA. I'm not going to always rely on my friends or my family. I may say I need AAA. So that if somebody, you know, I can't call my husband because he's on a business trip and I've got a flat tire or ran out of gas or whatever the situation is, I need to be able to call somebody. I need to be able to advocate for myself. I need to know who to call. You know, taxes, we just did, as a country, just finished up our taxes. You know, my taxes are complicated because I have a business. I don't do my own taxes. I can't do my own taxes. And my mother's taxes. And now I just wrote a book, which I'm going to talk about in a few moments. And so there's that to add on to taxes. And, you know, my husband's work. And